We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Feel like Kobe in the fourth quarter.
This is the Dame Moore NBA podcast brought to you by Blue Wire Podcast. Again, coming at you Wednesday evening, June 29th, right in the thick of free agency for the Wolves. Taking a little detour to do some film reviews of the Wolves. Two first-round draft picks. We did Walker Kessler in a film review on the previous episode. Today's episode will be on Wendell Moore Jr. On this episode, I'm again joined by Will DeBerg to do another film review. In the last episode, Will, we went through Walker Kessler's film. We asked the questions of what we think Kessler will be able to do in the NBA right away, what we think he won't be able to do, and what he might be able to do. We're doing the same thing with Wendell Moore Jr. from Duke. And I'm going to start with this question for you. Did you feel like answering those questions about Moore, what he can do, what he can't do, what he might be able to do, do you feel like that was easier or harder to answer than it was with Kessler?
A lot harder.
Way harder.
Yeah, because I don't, like, I would have to think about that, like, for all three of those.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably a good thing, because I struggle with
maybe.
But okay, what don't you think he'll be able to do?
Let me start with this. Like, I find myself watching the Wendell Moore Jr. film and I go, like this. Ooh, switchability. Ooh, playmaking. Ooh, 40%. And then I kind of package it all together. And I do have, I want Wendell Moore Jr. to be good, because I just like that type of like wing role player. But I have this fear with him that he is not good enough at any specific thing, that it could potentially set up this situation where it's like, okay, not quite athletic enough to be able to guard, not quite athletic enough to be able to get to the rim, maybe not quite good enough of a shooter to be able to be relied upon there. And I know that's kind of like looking at every one of them glass half empty. That leads me to have some concern about what Moore could be. But then I also look at it, I'm like, there's a lot of boxes like sort of checked here with Wendell Moore. And so what I have down for what he will be able to do is impact both sides of the ball. Will he be able to impact it at a really high level? I don't know, but I feel confident about his ability to be able to like fluidly switch on the perimeter, guard different sized guards and wings. And then also on the offensive end, you know, be able to spot up, but also be able to play make a little bit. I mean, those aren't like really strong votes of confidence, but I do think you'll watch Wendell Moore Jr. play in summer league, and when he gets in for the Wolves, being like, yeah, this is a guy who has some impact on both sides of the ball. I feel confident about that.
Yeah, I really like this pick, actually. And I think I get the concerns about what does he do really well, but then the glass half full is what does he do that's not good?
Totally.
So, and I guess if I were to piggyback off your concerns, it's, yeah, you could make the argument that's like, there's probably a lot of guys like that who are 6'4", 6'5", solid at everything. But at the same time, like Duke, the team that he was on was one of the best Duke teams ever. Mm-hmm. And he was kind of like the guy. I mean, he wasn't their best player. Obviously, there was guys drafted higher than him. But
he was important.
I watched a lot of Duke games. He was kind of like maybe their most important player in a weird way, especially defensively. So I don't know, man. I actually thought going into the draft that he might be one of those guys that's like a sneaky like top 17 or 18 pick, and you know, people are kind of surprised. But then you sort of dig deeper into it.
I'll say this, like, mechanically, to go from 19 and 40 to wind up at 22 and 26.
Yeah.
As well, I loved that.
Yeah.
Because I do think both Walker Kessler and Wendell Moore Jr. would have been reasonable picks to just take at 19 there. I think they were in that mix, particularly if you are the Wolves and you're more so looking for just role players.
Yeah.
Like, I think those would have both been fine picks. I kind of like how you have both of them, which if one doesn't work and the other does, it's kind of like Bomaro and McDaniels. Like,
it feels like a win.
It feels like a big win.
Right.
Because it's a late first round pick. And I kind of came in hot there with like some questions about Moore, but I'm really excited about him too. I'm watching him at Summer League is going to have a big influence, I think, for me on what I think he will be able to do at the NBA level. Cause I'm curious what your perspective is on this too. I can't really figure out what I think of him as an athlete. And at, you know, 6'5" or whatever, like, it's going to be important that he's going to have to be at least like a decent athlete to be able to guard and to get by guys in the league.
That's probably my biggest concern too, is like his speed and explosiveness and quickness. But at the same time, he's got a 7-foot wingspan.
Yep.
And he seems like he's super like strong and like thick, not thick, but like, you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't get pushed off the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He holds his ground, like defensively, especially. So yeah, he makes up for like the lack of explosiveness in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think he's smart. He's tough. He knows how to play. Like, I just think he feels like a guy that could have a really high floor.
Yeah. No, I would agree with that. I did my little size comps.
Believe we did not do that with.
Yeah. Kessler. Well, it was just with what with Walker Kessler, it was just gigantic players. Like, he's like Steven Adams or whatever. But Wendell Moore Jr. he's measured 6'4" without shoes at the combine, 6'4¼". So that's kind of what in the NBA we typically think of as a 6'6" guy. So that's not small to play the two or even the three. Like you said, over a 7-foot wingspan, 7'5" there, and 217 pounds. Like,
that's solid
strength. And the other guys who came up that have not exactly those measurements, but I found that were close: Moses Moody, Nasir Little, Josh Okogie, Shake Milton, Malcolm Brogdon, Denzel Valentine, Jaylen Brown, Trevion Graham, Justice Winslow, and Shabazz Muhammad. So that is a whole weird list of players who play a lot of different ways, right? And in theory, he is kind of in that. Wendell Moore is in this mix of, like, you're going to be in a wing in the league. What type of wing are we gonna make you be? And I'm curious to see, with the athleticism and that size, after watching Summer League preseason, if I feel comfortable that he can guard threes. Because I think if he can do that, that opens up a lot more, and he's not just guarding, you know, ones and twos. I think now he's more switchable across more positions, and it would just be nice to be like, all right, Wendell, you guard Paul George, Ant, like,
yeah,
you don't, and use your energy on offense. But I'm really stuck because from watching on film, I can't tell how good of or bad of an athlete Wendell Moore is.
That's the hardest part to tell, especially considering like some of the other athletes on that team. You know what I mean? Like, there were some pretty big time athletes on that Duke team, but like, again, I go back to the fact that he was by far their best perimeter defender at Duke. He's he clearly cares about defense. He seems like he likes to play defense. He's got a 7-foot wingspan. He's gonna, you know, he's strong. So like, I don't know. I would take my chances on him being a solid, even though he's not the quickest guy or jump the highest, you know, I would take my chances on him being.
But that's what's weird about him is it's like really slow first step, but then kind of gets some nice burst going to the rim. And then sometimes, you know, finishes really strong, whether it's, you know, through contact or just a dunk. Like that whole, like there's 50 clips of this, of him on the perimeter where he like kind of fools a guy to get a first step on him. The guy seems to catch up a little bit, but then more like kind of turbo boosts himself with speed and strength to be able to go finish.
Changes speeds well. Yeah. Deceptively quick. Like he's.
Yeah. So maybe that's just, maybe it isn't a lack of athleticism. Maybe it is strategic to, because that's part of the game too, is you don't want to be 100 all the time, like going as fast and as hard as you possibly can, because you do want to be able to mix it up to fool the defense. I just, again, I'm just going through watching clips. I know you watched way more full games of Duke over the course of the year. So I don't, that's why I say like, I need to watch him more before I really feel confident of being like, oh yeah, this is going to be a rotation player in the league.
Right.
I do think there's a chance, and this is just the reality of being a late first round pick. Like there's a chance that it just doesn't happen.
Totally.
You know? And that's part of this story here for Wendell Moore is this might not work. And if it doesn't work, it's because he's a little undersized and a little under athletic, but I could be totally wrong about that too.
I feel like it's going to work. I don't know why. I think I come back to the fact that at Duke, I mean, he's a 3-year player. He's like 5-star recruit coming out of high school. Like when he got to Duke, people assumed he was going to be a one and done guy. Wasn't, came back, didn't have a great sophomore year, came back, had an awesome junior year. I think offensively, part of the reason why I really, and I, when I say really like him, I mean like not as like he's going to be the guy.
Really like him as a role player. You believe in his upside as a role
player. He filled every possible role you could fill at Duke. He was a spot up shooter at times. Mm-hmm. He was their point guard at times. Jeremy Roach, who ended up finishing the year really well at Duke, struggled for, I don't know, half the year. They literally were like, all right, Wendell Moore, you're going to be the point guard. And then he was kind of their secondary playmaker when Jeremy Roach started playing better. So he did all three of those things. Primary ball handler, secondary ball handler, spot up shooter. He played with Paolo. He played with Mark Williams. He played with Trevor Keels. He played with AJ Griffin.
He played with 8 dudes who got drafted.
Yeah.
In his 3 years, 8 guys who were his Duke teammates who got drafted in the NBA.
And I think watching especially this past year, he made all those guys way better. He moved the ball well. He made Mark Williams' life incredibly easy.
Right.
And so I just think you're going to throw him out there with guys who are better than he is, and he's going to understand, like, hey, look, he's got
right.
– but he's going to just
– that's what they drafted him for.
He's going to compliment him. And I think, like, one of the underrated things about him, which, again, is probably a nerdy – like, he just – he moves the ball incredibly well. And his – I mean, he went from 21% from 3 to 31% to 41% in 3 years. So
can you – because I just did clips only from this year. Can you – walk me and the listeners through what the first 2 years were like at Duke?
I mean, I do think part of it is a confidence thing, right? You're there as a freshman. You're playing with a bunch of other 5-star recruits.
That was like the Trey team. Trey Jones was on that.
It was Trey's sophomore year. So it was after Zion and Cam Reddish and that crew.
Yeah.
It was Trey's sophomore year. I had to pull up the roster. They weren't as good, but...
Matthew Hurt, maybe?
Yeah. Yes, correct. I don't know if you have the list in front of you.
I wrote it down somewhere who the 8 players are. Jalen Johnson, he played with as a sophomore.
Yes.
Who was a first round pick. Oh yeah. Or no, this is a different list. My notes are too many stupid Timberwolves related notes, but he did play with a handful of, you know, high, like electric players at Duke. And I think I know that was part of the reason why the Wolves decided to take him, because they feel like they got the electricity is taken care of in this team, right? You got Cat, you got Ant, you got D'Lo. Like, what they need is a ball mover. They need a guy who can, you know, who can just fill a role on a wing and maybe over the course of 3, 4, 5 years grow into being something more than a basic role player. But that, I think that's where it starts with him.
It was like Vernon Carey and those guys. That's the one guy.
Vernon Carey, yes.
So, I mean, yeah, I think he's kind of gone through, he's filled every role at some point at Duke, you know, playing with all those guys. And I think that's exactly who he'll be in the NBA.
Yeah, and there's no reason to be underwhelmed by drafting a role player in the late first round. It's the same thing we talked about with Walker Kessler. Like, it's a new experience, right? If you're a Wolves fan, of normally they're drafting the top half of the, you know, or the top 10 of the first round, and you're looking for a guy to be a difference maker, right? Somebody who can be a foundational piece. When you're drafting at 22 and 26, that's not what you're looking for. Maybe you're taking an upside swing, Jaden McDaniels a couple years ago, but for the most part, the odds on money is on drafting a role player, you know? And I have no problem with that being the philosophy of the Wolves with Kessler, because it checks some boxes. And then with Moore too, like, they need him, or they need somebody outside of Pat Bev to be able to guard the ball consistently. I mean, that when the Wolves had their terrible dips defensively over the course of the season, they just stopped getting into the ball. They stopped controlling the direction of where the opposing guard would go. Wendell Moore, I mean, I don't know if he'll be in the rotation right away at the beginning of the year, but I feel confident when you're just giving him that first chum, right, of an opportunity, say, hey, guard the ball. You know, guard the ball, stay attached to the extent you can to the guy's hip.
He was, and again, who knows if this will translate in the NBA. He was by far Duke's best point of attack defender last year. I mean, Duke wasn't great defensively last year, but Wendell Moore made them even, like, respectable defensively.
I finally found the list. All right, these are the eight guys who he played with at Duke. Paolo Banchero, Mark Williams, Trevor Keels, A.J. Griffin, Jalen Johnson, Vernon Carey, Trey Jones, Cassius Stanley,
yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, eight guys who's drafted. He was a role player to some extent He was a role player kind of on all three of those teams. Probably this team was the one where he had his junior year was where he was the most of a primary feature in their offense.
Right. Yeah, and I think he, like, again, I go back to the flexibility that you can have with him, both offensively and defensively. So yeah, I don't know. I really like the pick.
I'm with that too. Let's take a break, and then we talked about what we think he will be able to do. Let's get into some of the maybes and what he might not be able to do after the break with Will.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, we are back with Will DeBerg. We are discussing Wendell Moore Jr. We both had the chance here in the week since the Wolves drafted him to really dig into a lot of his film from Duke. And we're trying to guess what we think Wendell is going to be able for sure to do in the NBA, what we think he'll probably never do, and what he might be able to do. Do you have a never will be able to do with Wendell Moore?
I don't think he'll ever be like one of your main one or two guy perimeter guys on offense.
That's what I put down. Which score individually.
Yeah.
I just don't.
He's never going to break your guy, you know, average 20 a game, which again, you're drafting the guy 26 overall. I don't think that's a hot take either.
Right. Right. I mean, I guess it's, I think what you're hoping, you're not hoping for him to be able to just like top the key, like even like Jalen Noel style, who's like the bench guy for that on the Wolves right now. Like, what you would like him to get to is be like a second side late in the shot clock. He can go create his own shot against a shifted defense. But in terms of just isolation scoring one-on-one, it would be a mistake. Just like we talked about with Walker Kessler, it'd be a mistake to post up Walker Kessler. It'd be a mistake to just give Wendell Moore the ball and say, okay, go ahead, go isolate on Reggie Jackson or whatever. You know, that's right. that's probably never going to be his game. The mites I have with him are shoot threes at a good clip in the league. Like it was what you said, it was 21% as a freshman, 31 as a sophomore, 41 as a junior.
All in the same volume too. He's shooting about 5 or 6 a game all three of those years.
So, I mean, do you find yourself a believer in Wendell's jump shot?
Yeah. A believer in him being a solid NBA three-point shooter, yes. Mm-hmm. I do think he's going to struggle. Like, he's not going to be one of those guys that can, like, pull up on you and hit, like, tough shots. But if you space the floor and you've got playmakers around him, like, he's going to be able to knock down open shots.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I wouldn't say that I watched him and was like, that's a pure shooter. You know, how some guys are just like, that's their main skill or one of their main skills.
They didn't run action for him to shoot threes, if that makes sense. A lot of guys who are like shooters who shoot 40%+, they'll run a bunch of stuff for him to like come off screens. He got most of his by, and this is kind of how Duke ran their offenses, give Powell the ball, kind of just like get out of the way.
Track two, swing.
Swing three. And so, I mean.
Which is what it'll look like in the NBA.
Yeah.
Particularly, I mean.
Duke runs a very, I mean, they've got NBA guys. They run a very NBA-like offense.
Yeah, and.
For better or for worse.
And really, like, Banchero, that's a pretty good, like, cat comp. Like, a college, like, to have played alongside a skilled big in that sort of way who, I mean, he's not going to shoot it like Cat does, but, I mean, so much of Cat's game has evolved into being, like, an off-the-bounce, like, attack-the-basket type of guy in ways very similar to Banchero. So, I think, like, when I was watching it and watching him on those possessions where he's surrounded Banchero, I'm like, oh, I could see him fitting into that role around Cat, seamless for him because he's played alongside guys like that. I mean, Jalen Johnson, right? He had a weird year there. That was didn't really play, but kind of similar in archetype of that type of big too. So Cat is kind of a tricky player to play with for anyone. You kind of have to, it's just different, right? So? Well, it's just like as a five, you know, it's not how most offenses in the league work, you know. It's different than Paul George or Kawhi Leonard being your primary offensive engine. You got to kind of be set up for it. You look like you're laughing over there about Cat.
No, I'm not. You said he was hard to play with. I just think I probably would agree with that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like in terms of, well, Carl's got his words in that way, but it's a different type of center to be able to play with. There's not many players in the league who play like Cat.
Totally. You know what I thought was watching the clips of Wendell Moore, and I don't know what this means. Couldn't you see him on Memphis? Would they just keep running dudes in that are like solid basketball? But like, he just struck me as a guy that would thrive there.
Totally. Yeah, and honestly, that's kind of what the Wolves need to add, right?
Just guys, right?
Just be able
guys you can trust, guys who can defend, guys who can make open shots.
That just exist. They orbit around Ja Morant.
They don't mess
right?
up. They
orbit around Ant. And I think that is, that's really what you're...
Guys who aren't like super volatile, where it's like Malik Beasley, like one game he's going to make a bunch of shots and like be locked in. Next game you're going to be like, who is this guy?
Yes.
And you just need guys who are just steady. They know their role. And I, that's why I like the pick so much, is because that's who he, that's who Wendell Moore is.
The other thing I had down as a maybe is just his ability to keep up with NBA sized wings. I kind of mentioned that a little bit before earlier, and I'm sort of thinking this through the lens of, I think his path to playing on this roster as it's currently constructed is more so on like the big wing side, like the three. They just, you know, you got Ant that, you know, is going to play a ton on the wing, D'Lo, Beverly, who else? I mean, Jordan McLaughlin will be in the mix there.
Jalen
Beasley,
Jalen Noel.
Jalen Noel. I mean, there's just, there's not a
there's
ton
a, there's of, a log jam for sure.
There's a log jam if you're limiting yourself to being a two. And I know it's a little bit of semantics to go, what's the difference between a two and a three? But I think that one of the differences is being able to guard threes. And in the league, now you're guarding a Jason Tatum, you know, a 6'8 guy there. And I guess what I would say, if he can do that, if he can guard 6'8 wings, you know, capably, obviously they're going to still get theirs. But if he can do that, that's his path to minutes, I think, this year as as a rookie, because it just gets thinner at the three when, you know, basically all they have, you know, Jaden McDaniels, right? Like there's more room there to kind of have the Taurean Prince role, which Prince is back. But I think Moore serves a lot more value this year if he can guard NBA threes. Do you think he'll be able to do that?
I think the size is a concern for sure. If he was 6'4 with a 6'8 wingspan, I'd be more nervous. But I do think that the 220 or 28, whatever he weighs, with a 7-foot wingspan, that gives me more optimism and more hope that he will be able to.
Yeah.
And I think mentally, I do think he's like competitive and wants to play defense and understands like, hey, if you're going to make it in the league, like you're going to have to do those things. And I think mentally, and that's the part like guys like you and I, we have no idea, but like, I think guys who are super competitive and like want to take on those challenges, those are the guys who are successful. Right. And again, I don't know, but if I were going to if he is, which I hopefully he is, like then yeah, I would think he's going to be able to guard threes.
And like, to be fair, and I'm the one, you know, having these size concerns and stuff, I mean, there's a lot of 6'5 guys out there in the league right now who are guarding power forwards consistently.
Right.
I mean, Josh Okogie was on that list of, you know, of players who've measured out similarly to Wendell Moore, like 6'4, 7 foot wingspan. Yeah. Like, I mean, I was banging on the table Okogie's whole time here to be like, just have him guard fours, have him function as a four. So I feel kind of stupid saying like, oh, I don't know if Wendell Moore's going to be able to guard the three, but Josh Okogie, you should be playing the power four. You know what I mean? So that's where I go back to two. I want to see him against NBA level competition and understand, have an idea of where like, okay, you are physically over Matt. Where is the line where Wendell Moore becomes physically overmatched? I don't know what that is, but the higher he can go on there opens up a lot more room for him in the league, because I mean, he's on the Wolves, like Ant's going to be the two for indefinitely, you know? So there's the three seems like it'll be the role for him, or maybe Ant kind of takes on some more lead ball handling stuff and Moore's kind of the two and he playmakes a little bit. I mean, this is probably maybe 2-3 years down the line. But again, initially, I think he needs to guard bigger than the smaller guys, just given the roster that he's on.
Given the roster. But I actually, defensively, I totally agree. I actually think there's a world in which he could be like play backup point guard minutes. Mm-hmm. I really do. They had him in a bunch of pick and rolls in college, and I think he sees the floor really well. His assist numbers, I think he averaged 4.5 assists is solid. I defensively, I agree. I think offensively, you could put him at 1, 2, or 3, really.
You know what stood out to me, and I actually, if you listeners want to check this out, I tweeted this clip out, and, or it's like 8 or 10 plays where it is Duke versus Gonzaga. And I thought that was really instructive because, you know, that's him running pick and roll with Chet Holmgren in the action, mm-hmm. which is, you know, that is an NBA level rim defender right away. And it wasn't perfect every time. Like a couple of times, like Chet sort of like swallowed him up in those situations and he had to kick out. But what I loved about it is Wendell was not scared at all in that game. And he was going at it. I mean, he's looking for Mark Williams on the roll for the lobs and that sort of thing and was finding him. But that was really encouraging to me from the, and I don't know, we call it backup point guard. We call it a two guard who play makes sometimes, whatever it is. Like there is tons of evidence in Moore's college clips that he can play make alongside NBA caliber players, Banchero, Williams, all those other guys we listed off. But also he played for Duke. There's a ton of games and tape against real fours and fives that he wasn't scared against. And, you know, did he overpower them all the time? No. But a lot of times he finished well through contact. Like I thought that was the Gonzaga film really was affirming for me with Moore.
Yeah. No, I think your point of like him playing at a school like Duke, like he's not going to be afraid of anybody. Like he's played with NBA guys. He's played with top picks. That. Like he's guarded top picks. Like I just think he knows, I mean, he didn't leave, right? Like if his mentality was like, I'm one of those guys, he would have been gone after his freshman year and like tested the draft and probably been a second round pick and who knows. But I think he understood like, hey, I'm not where I need to be yet. Come back to school for two more years. I think that says a lot. And I think he understood. Like, so I think, again,
and he's not even 21 yet.
Again, you and I don't know him, but from the things we do know, it points to like this kid gets it. He knows what it's going to take for him to be successful.
Right.
And that's why the Memphis example, like they've got a bunch of dudes like that who I feel like love their role, know they're not Ja, know they're not like whoever all these other guys are. Like, and I don't know. I'm optimistic that he's going to kind of be in that role.
Yeah. And again, like that's what they drafted him for.
Yeah.
They didn't draft him to like this 95th percentile outcome for him where he ends up being in really dynamic offensive and defensive player. Like that, I mean, obviously they'd like to let that develop if they can, but they're cool with just being like, all right, Wendell, here's two things. Let's get these two things done. Then let's add two more things, you know? And he does strike me as the type of worker who will be like, yes, coach, and just do those two things and not do anything else that he's not, you know, he's correct. Not told to do. Like that's the vibe I get watching.
It's like, hey, make Ant's life easier, make Cat's life easier.
Yep.
Do those two things and you're going to play.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, again, I think Summer League will be really instructive in that sort of way. And then also just, I think playing in the league, like real games will help a lot. I'm not saying the Wolves are a great team, but they are oddly like real deep.
Yeah.
Especially
at his position.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they probably got 12, 13 players on the team right now. We'd be like, oh yeah, they're better than Wendell.
For sure. Yeah. And he's like, if he doesn't play at
maybe
all,
not 12, 13, but you know what I mean?
If he doesn't play at all his first year, next year, if he doesn't play at all, if he's like back and forth from the G League, whatever, I'm not going to be like, oh, we were wrong.
No.
I'm like, okay, yeah, he's not going to like just when the time comes, when the roster kind of weeds itself out, like I think he'll be able to contribute.
Well, and I think what we've learned with the Wolves in these last like 3 years is the value of doing that in the G League. I mean, that's what Jordan McLaughlin did. That's what Naz Reid did. That's what Jared Vanderbilt did. Like they went down there. The whole going to the G League thing, like that is not a knock on guys anymore. It's getting reps playing against NBA size talent and in an NBA like offensive and defensive construct. Like I think that would be terrific to see Moore be able to. My assumption right now, and I don't know, I haven't like talked to anyone. My assumption is he will not be in the rotation day one. Again, we'll see what the roster looks like, but it's going to be I think his inclusion in the team will be more gradual than Walker Kessler's.
I think that's fair. Yeah. And it's funny you say that because I think in a vacuum, take out the roster, I think in a vacuum, Wendell Moore would be more ready to play than Kessler.
I kind of agree with that too.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, take out the current roster. But
I think like if we would have, and I'm pretty high on Walker Kessler, but if we would have had the time to go through and do a big board of like all, I think I would have had Wendell Moore on my board over Walker Kessler.
I don't think there's any question where I would have.
So as in you agree with me?
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. I mean, but that is where, again, a late first round pick, everyone says best player available, all that. I mean, players in this range are drafted for need and players play based on what role is available, you know? And again, in 3 days, the Wolves roster could look very different. But as of right now, there is significantly more standing in the way of Wendell Moore being able to prove what he can, can't do, and maybe can do than Walker Kessler, who I'm assuming is going to get an opportunity.
Totally. You
know, pretty much right away.
Totally.
We miss anything on Wendell Moore?
I don't think so.
Anything else?
Recap it?
Stick out? Oh, yeah. So what I had for what he will be able to do is impact both sides of the ball. Both as a switchable defender and a playmaker. I also wrote, I didn't say this before, I think he can play in a variety of schemes. Like, I think if you're just trying to play, like if you were just like, all of a sudden the Wolves are like, we switch five, like Wendell Moore would be able to comfortably do that. So and similarly, if they're playing drop or whatever it might be, I don't think there's going to be like, oh, this is the only way you can play defensively with Wendell Moore. So that's, you know, that's actually, I guess, three things I do bank on for him there. What I said, I don't think he'll be able to do is score individually in isolation. I just don't think that's his game. And then what he might be able to do is shoot threes at a good clip in the NBA. And it's funny, we had that down for Kessler too, who shot 20% and Wendell Moore shot 40%. But You got to see it in the league. You got to see it in the league to believe it or not to believe it. I think. And then the other one I had down was keep up with NBA sized wings defensively. You know, that's a question mark for me too. Did I miss any of yours on there? Or kind of overlapped and all that.
We overlapped. I'm a believer in his three. Like
You've watched it more than I did. I just wasn't. It wasn't pure or whatever that might be. It was my perception on it, but I'm just watching clips. I'm not watching a ton of full games.
Yeah.
These guys.
I mean, he shot 80% all 3 years from the free throw line or higher.
That's a good point.
50% from two this year, 41% from three. Like, that just strikes me as a guy that's going to make shots.
It's funny.
It's weird that you are more optimistic about Kessler's 3-point shot than.
It's like in the context relative, of being a five. Like, literally, Kessler's going to be taking like
wide open
above the break threes, whereas like, I think Wendell Moore, you know, it's going to be, you're going to have a faster guy closing out to you. It's going to be a quicker shot. If those guys get a 3-point shooting contest right now, I'm not picking Walker Kessler, picking Wendell Moore to be clear. It's just a little bit different of a position. I think we're going to, like I've said like 8 times already, we're going to learn a lot about Wendell Moore here in summer league and in training camp, just about what does he look like? He's played alongside NBA caliber talent. What does he look like when he's consistently playing against those type of players? And I wouldn't bet against it. I'm by no means low on Wendell Moore. I just like, it's kind of, my grade is like TBD on
that's
him.
Fair.
And we'll see. Well, I appreciate you doing not only this one, but also the Walker Kessler episode. I'll probably bug you again sometime to come back. I haven't had the chance to really watch much of Josh Minot. I don't know. With 4th of July. I don't think we're going to be able to have the time to sit down to do that, but always fun having you come on and talk about these prospects.
Anytime.
All right. He's Will DeBerg. Follow him on Twitter. What is it? At WDeBerg14.
It's been a while since you've
done
it.
There you go. But I still got it. Follow Will and thank Will for coming on to do this for me. It's very, very helpful for me. Again, you can go back into the log. We've had, I think, like 5 episodes this week since the draft. We had if you haven't listened to Walker Kessler film review, that's in there. Some reactions from the intro press conferences, some commentary on the Taurean Prince signing, this Jalen Noel, I guess, all of a sudden being a core player of the team. So lots of Wolves stuff. this past week, and I think we'll have a lot more here in the first week of July. So thank you for listening. Thank you, Will, for coming on. Until probably next week, I'm Dane.
How I'm feeling, man, I hope it never stop, yeah. Green and hot so you can find me in the crowd, yeah, yeah. Don't let standards ever bring you down, yeah. Hope you dancing like nobody else around, yeah.